want to turn your attention to Isaiah, the 45th chapter, starting in verse number 1. I don't believe it's time for us to play it safe. I know this whole world is trying to be as safe as they possibly can, but the church, I'm not talking about doing something crazy in this world, but there's no time to be safe when it comes to the things of God. I often think about Peter stepping out of a boat and the other 11 sat there. He had a testimony like no other had. And I wonder how many of those 11 regretted, why didn't I get it? I know I was feeling like I should, but I just never did. Hallelujah. I don't want anybody to have any regrets. I know I should have, but I just, why didn't I do it? I believe there are people in here that God is wanting to use and prompting to use in the gifts of the Spirit or even in ministries, and they haven't because, well, they just didn't want to take a chance. I want to embarrass myself, maybe. So I hope through the preaching tonight that something happens in us. See, it's got to accomplish something in our lives. It really does. It's not just an instruction book. You know, you can read manual after manual and never put it into practice. And somehow we have to put the Word of God into practice. So Isaiah 45, verse number 1, it says, "Thus saith the Lord to the anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I have holden to subdue nations before him. I will loose the lions of kings to open before him the two leaves gates, and the gates shall not be shut. I will go before thee and make the crooked places straight. I will break in pieces the gates of brass and cut in sunder the bars of iron. I will give thee the treasures of darkness and hidden riches of secret places that thou mayest know." He's doing all of this that thou mayest know that I, the Lord, which called thee by thy name, am the God of Israel. There are some things that God does in our lives just to demonstrate I am in charge. I'll take you to secret places. I will give you riches. I'll defeat your enemy. For Jacob, my servant's sake, and Israel, mine elect, I have even called thee by thy name. I have surnamed thee. And I looked up that word surname. It means a special name that God gives individuals, a flattering name or something. This is the part that I don't understand. God does all of this, me. This is the part that I don't understand. God does all of this, even gives you a special name, but you really didn't know me. And then if you turn to Matthew, the 7th chapter, Matthew 7, verse 21, Jesus says, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works?" Now, who is he talking? He's not talking to the world. He's talking to the church. "And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you worker of iniquity." So even though there were exploits, even though there were things that people did, they really didn't know God. That church scares me to death. How we can go through the motions, even do some great things, but not even know God. Lord, we ask your blessing, your touch, your anointing on your word. Help us to draw closer to you through it. And we'll give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Can you imagine receiving a letter from God saying, I have anointed you and taken you by the hand. I have subdued your enemies, opened doors that no man can shut. I will break down gates and brass and iron that have restrained you. I have given you hidden treasures of secret places and given you a surname, a special name that I personally call you. You don't know it. Nobody knows it except I do. And then verse 5, I am the Lord, and there is none else. There is no God beside me. I girded or strengthened you, though thou hast not known me. Now, could it be that we could experience all of the blessings of God, all of the protection and even the anointing of God, and yet really not know God? God desperately wants a relationship with each and every one of us. You know, religion has taken away the relationship because what we do is we formalize our relationship with God through religion, not just having information about God, not just another little sermon about who Jesus is and all of the attributes of God, or how do I get more blessings from God? God, if I do certain things, how are you going to bless me or heal me? But how can I know him, really know him for myself? Hallelujah. You know, I've said this a number of times. God has wanted to approach every individual, but the problem is there's sin in their lives. Once we're baptized in Jesus' name and put his righteousness on and his spirit within us, now we have the invitation to get as close to God as we want. Other people don't have that option if they don't have the righteousness of Christ on them, but we are married to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That gives a certain legitimacy. Psalms 4 and 3 tells us, but know that the Lord hath set apart him that is godly for himself. The Lord will hear when I call unto him. So we have an open door to God whenever we want it. It's not, well, pastor, could you pray? No, you have an open door. You are a high priest, if you will. God doesn't want anything else on this earth, but he wants a people, a godly people. We are the apple of his eye. He has set apart the godly for himself, and God is looking for the same commitment that he made to us for us to make to him. To search the hidden treasures and search the secret places of God so that we might know him like no other people know him. That's what we've got going for us. We know things that other people don't know. This message will give you information about God, but it takes each of us, as Paul said in Acts 17 and 27, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. The only reason you're here tonight is there was something within you that says, I need to know more about God. There's got to be more than just going through the motions. Lots of information on Mars Hill that he talked about in that 17th chapter of Acts. Their God was the intellect, the information age of their time, sharing new things, you see. But they didn't know who God was. Amen. Theology schools, seminaries, places that people can go in order to get licensed, but don't even know who God is. I have literally, I don't know how many books I have, commentaries and biblical illustrated books from men who don't know God. Comments, their perspective, but they don't know God. We need to feel after him. We need to search for God that we may know him, not just have more information about him. So we're entering into the baseball season. So it allows me to use some metaphors for baseball. You know, Jesus used metaphors and parables in order to, you know, make it simple for people. And when I was a boy, I was very involved with playing baseball. And because I loved it, I played it a lot. And in fact, I played in an all-star game 100 years ago in Franksville under the lights. And I still remember that game so vividly. I didn't hit many home runs, but I got on base a lot. My coach told me something that was very, very important to my success. He said, are you ready? If you're going to steal second base, you have to leave first base. Huh? I mean, deep. I'm talking deep. Hallelujah. I bet you're glad you came tonight, huh? You know, this is deep Greek and amazing Hebrew. Glory to God. It does make sense, though. In order to leave first and try to get to second requires an act of risk. Because it's easy to keep your foot on first base. Nobody's going to tag you out, you see. You see, I know what it's like to get tagged out trying to get to second. I know what it's like to be caught in a rundown between the two bases, but the last time I checked, you can't get home unless you leave first base. That'll preach. You can't get home unless you take some risk in your life. And what good is it if you get on base but never make it home? Church, I don't want to die on first. I don't want to die on a pew. I don't want to get to that place where I'm just going through the motions. Yeah, I know I should be in church, and you know, but never get excited about it because you never took a risk to leave your comfort zone. Hallelujah. Too many people hang on that first experience with God. Oh, I remember that. It was wonderful 20 years, 25 years ago, and are afraid to let go of the pew, bring in a message, sing a special, teach a Bible study, just holding on to first base, just holding on to church. I'll get there if I can. Did I offend anybody yet? Security of what we know is nice and safe, but those that venture out and take a risk, well, they just have all the fun. Listen, arriving requires leaving. You know, if you want to leave this world, you know, well, you have to leave some things in this world. We all had to take a step in faith in order to get to the place we are. But we didn't get to the finish line yet, you know? We're moving in increments, but we can't get to the place where we just stop. I don't care how old you are. You got to keep going. Everyone who has experienced a deep measure of God has had to take a risk in uncharted territory, you know? Abraham had to step out and go to a place that God was going to show him. He didn't know anything about it. Most everybody who's ever been used by God has had to take a step out in faith. Glory to God. There was a time when you left first base and walked up to the altar for the first time. That's what you did. A time when you left second base and well, you just decided, I'm going to dance in the Spirit. Don't just watch the game and hold on to first place. You must be lost in being led by the Spirit of God and enjoying the presence of God because that's what he wants. He wants to have a good time with his people. Amen. Hallelujah. Romans 8:14 says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God, or they are the ones who really know God because they're led by the Spirit. Amen. You can get to the place where you're not waiting for the leading of the Spirit to move you in any direction because you're just concentrating on what I'm going to do. If we want to know God, we must be godly. Again, very deep concept. Pastor, I can live any way I want and still get close to God. Really? Show me. Name names. What is godliness? That term gets thrown around all the time, but nobody ever really defines what godliness is. Godliness is simply responding to God's revealing to us by trust, obedience, worship, and submission. We demonstrate our godliness by putting our lives in the hands of God, saying, "You know what's best for me. I believe your word. And I'm willing to do whatever you inspire me to do." Amen. Don't play it safe. Two things must rule our walk with God: the revealing of the Word of God and the intimacy of the Spirit of God. Amen. Have to be those two things in our life. It's not either or, it is both. Amen. All Word and no Spirit makes an intellectual popsicle. You know? I can quote the scripture, but I've never really experienced any of the scripture. That's what a Pharisee is, you know? Well, I study the word, but I've never seen it actually work in my life. And all spirit and no governing by the word makes people fanatics who look like they're out of control. And people don't want to be around them either. We are governed by the word to experience the Spirit. Amen. The word of God tells me I can have that intimacy and moving of God's Spirit in my life, so why not experience it? If what we believe and preach doesn't carry us to an experience with Jesus, then it has just made us into another religion, just like every other religion, void of really knowing God in the Spirit. And that's the only way you can really know God. It's not by writing the letter, you know, it's by touching the one who wrote the book. See? Jesus said in John 5:39, "Search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. And ye will not come to me that ye might have life." So we search the scriptures to find God, but we need to search the scriptures to find out what God likes and how close we can get to God. You see, the word is supposed to give us direction, but it also gives us a desire for something deeper than just reading the word to provoke us to have an experience with God. And that's what we do in our song service. We're provoking people, if you will, by gathering together and worshiping together. Amen. People can't just sit under the preaching of the word week after week without a desire to get close to God and have an intimate experience with God. See, the word has got to change us, but it also gives us a liberty to see how far we can go and what God is going to do in our life. Listen, we have all been touched by another world and spoke with other tongues as the Spirit gave us utterance. It's miraculous. If there was ever a miracle in our life, is that we were born of the water and born of the Spirit. But that ought to motivate us for more of God. You see, if that happened to me 43 years ago, what could happen to me today. It's not all over. The ceremony's over. The honeymoon is over. No, the longer you live for God, the deeper you can get with God, the closer you can get with, you can have a greater experience. Lord, more please, reveal more, touch me more, God. Fill me more with what has already touched me. I'm not satisfied with what happened in the past or 10 years ago or 20 years ago. I need something now. Amen. The Holy Ghost is just the introduction to what God has for us. It's not some place you set up a condo and stay there, you know. All right, I got it. That's it. Hallelujah. If you stay on first base, you'll never get home. Lots of information about God and one or two experiences isn't really what God wants. You know? They have to go hand in hand. What I give you from this pulpit should inspire you to get closer, to take more risk, to take more chances. You get to work, somebody's sick. You know the information about laying hands on the sick and praying for people. Will you risk it? Will you get off first base and walk over to the individual and say, you know what? I believe God can heal you. Now, God wants to back us. If that happens and that person is healed, do you think they'll want more information about God? I do. I've used this illustration, but I don't know how many years ago it was. On a Saturday morning, I was walking back and forth praying here, and God spoke to me and said, tell Don that the cancer is not coming back. And later that day, I was playing tennis with Don. And I said, God gave me a word for you. And I said, do you want me to tell you? And he said, okay. And I said, God told me that the cancer is not coming back. Now, I had no idea that he ever had cancer, but there was something in him that was always worried about the cancer coming back, you see. I believe God wants to use us in that vein. You know, if there's anything supernatural touching somebody, you then don't have to beg them to come to church or beg them to come to a Bible study because they know that God read their mail, you see? Hallelujah. God said in our scripture text in Isaiah 45, I gave you these experiences of miraculous things, the hand of God, though thou hast not known me. So God is saying, I gave you these things, and now you need to seek after me. See, the Holy Ghost experience and the miraculous in our services are given to instill a position of himself that would create a desire for more of him. I talked to a lady Sunday morning. Had a devastating loss in her home, and she said, Pastor, it looks like this adjuster is going to deny the claim. We're talking about thousands and thousands of dollars of damage. And I said, well, tell you what. If two or three agree, we're both going to agree that this is going to change and God's going to change his mind in regard to that. Well, yesterday morning I got a call of someone who was just frantic. God answered my prayer and just tears streaming down her face. And God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. Well, what are you going to do with that? You know? It's just like Isaiah 40, 5 said. God does this and God does that. God, it's in order for you to know me more and share me with other people who don't know me. You see? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, those are nice words, Pastor, but, you know, I heard them before, and I'm not leaving first base because it's just too risky. What if somebody says, you know, you aren't worthy to dance in the Spirit? Who are you to bring in a message in tongues and interpretation? You know, we're accountable to God. We're not accountable to people. And if you want to leave first base and try to get to second, you know, who are you? I'm sorry, you get back to where you're supposed to be. I remember my third base coach yelling at me, "Keep your eyes on me." That's what he said. He said, "When I tell you to run, I want you to run. I'll watch the ball. You just watch me." So don't look at anything else. Just look at him. When he says run, you need to run. When he says, come on, pray for that individual right there. Or reveal something. They're going through a divorce. They're going through cancer. Hallelujah. I'm off my base. I'm going to circle around. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, I think I'll just sit on first base until Jesus comes. Yeah. I think I want to have more fun than you. I hate to tell you this, but he is somewhere around second, third, or home waiting for us to make a move. That's what God's doing. Come on. Come on. I know Peter sunk in the water, but I gotta believe that God was so excited about him stepping out of the boat. You know, that's my guy. Hallelujah. God wants everyone to experience joy unspeakable and full of glory, but that doesn't happen until we step out a little bit, get a little risky, you see. Listen, truth that is not experienced is no better than false doctrine, you know? Do you know the problem that the Pharisees had? They never experienced what they said they believed, you know? They preached it, but they never experienced it. And we can experience it, and then we can preach it, you see? You can't preach something that you've never experienced. We can't just declare if we don't experience it on a regular basis. In fact, we won't want to. And if we don't experience the supernatural, then we begin to declare that is no longer necessary. You see, when churches aren't being filled with the Holy Ghost anymore and people aren't getting healed anymore and there's no liberty in services anymore, there will be some who will declare it's really not that important anymore, you see? Or we don't have to have that kind of thing going on in the church. And that's where Michael, David's wife, was, and she was made barren. In other words, she could not reproduce. So take your Bibles to 2 Samuel, the 6th chapter. I know this is familiar to most of you. 2 Samuel 6, starting in verse number 20. You know that David has the ark is coming back, and he begins to shout and dance and just rejoice before the ark. And verse number 20, then David returned to bless his house and Michal, the daughter of Saul, came out to meet David and said, "How glorious was the king of Israel today, who uncovered himself today in the eyes of the handmaidens of his servants, as one of the vain fellows shamelessly uncovereth himself." And David said unto Michal, "It was before the Lord." You know, you gotta realize that everything that we do in this church is before the Lord. We're not doing it for entertainment or for anybody else's benefit. It was before the Lord which chose me. Did he choose you? Before thy father and before all his house, to appoint me ruler over the people of the Lord, over Israel. Therefore will I play before the Lord. And I will yet be more vile than thus, and will be based in mine own sight, and of the maidservants which thou hast spoken of them shall I be had in honor. Therefore Michal, the daughter of Saul, and the wife of David, had no children until the day of her death. Glory to God. It's before the Lord. Hallelujah. What if Michal had the same experience that her husband David had? You know? She would never have criticized him, but she probably would have danced right next to him. It's times that we take what we know about him to drive us into the secret place of the Most High, that we could find that place in God that we don't know anything about, to show us something deeper, something more intimate. God wakes you up in the middle of the night to tell you something, to show you a scripture. You know, you're thinking about something, you open your Bible, and there's the scripture. You know it's not a coincidence. It's God taking you into a secret place. He wants to do that. Hallelujah. Because I am convinced by the Word of God that he has invited us there, don't live at your conversion level when there is so much more for us. Would you worry about your kids if they just stayed at the third grade level? You know? There should be a progression. You know? You should know where certain scriptures are. You should have experiences with God the longer you live with God. God's not saying that we're ungodly or unsaved at that level, but he paid for the whole package. And he wants the whole romance with his bride, you see. He didn't just pay for a date for a couple of nights out. You can stay at the base of the mountain if you want, but I'll tell you what, if you get to the top of the mountain, it's miraculous. About six, 7 weeks ago, my wife and I were in Mexico, and we found a mountain that we could climb. And they made it easier because it was a path that went like this. But there were maybe six plateaus on that place. And every time we got to another plateau, I was taking pictures. And at the very top of the mountain, being able to see the ocean, and I mean, cars look like bugs. What a perspective up there. It was a place to worship God. I can see why God would want us to build altars at the mountain tops, because it's just so outstanding. The view is so much better there. We sing about going up to the high places, but you have to leave the first floor. You know, you have to determine. I can't be a cheerleader. Brother Moran can't be a cheerleader. We can't say, come on. And I've been in those conferences where somebody wants to rev up the crowd. Come on, let's clap our hands. That is not genuine. It's got to come from the heart. You got to feel like, God, I want to get closer to you. And as we increase our level of knowing God, we then have confidence to face anything. Fear is no longer a factor, or our losses or our crosses are not going to defeat us. You see, when we read in the Bible where Daniel didn't fear the lion's den, we're wondering, have I ever gotten to that level of faith? Is there an experience that he had that projected him to the place where I don't worry about anything? What about the three Hebrews that were thrown into the furnace, like Brother Monday talked about Sunday? You know, well, I know our God can deliver us, but if he doesn't, you know, is it because of the experience, not just the knowledge, but the experience they had with God? See, then you realize how valuable your experiences with God are, because when you come up to one of those crossroads in life, see, well, I know God loves me. God doesn't want us to glory in any of our accomplishments. What happens if we don't have an experience with God? We start to exchange it for, you know what position I have in church? Do you know that I've been living for God for 43 years? There isn't any seniority in God's kingdom. You could get to that level at the first or second year, if you will. See, we want to exchange our accomplishments for our lack of experience with God. But there is one thing that the Bible tells us we should glory in. So take a look at Jeremiah chapter 9. Verse 23. Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord, which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. Now, I don't have any money, I don't have any position, but I know the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. What a glory in something? That's what you ought to glory in. There are people who study the Bible who have never lifted their hands to God. And the new convert who don't know three scriptures that bask in the presence of God, you see. It's the experience. It's better to meet the author than to memorize the author's book. Don't pride yourself on your occurred knowledge, but rather that I have been with Jesus. In Acts, the fourth chapter, Peter and John, you know, they were saying, these men are ignorant men, but they perceived they were with Jesus. See, glory to God. God didn't condemn getting a degree. And education is great, but some who have many degrees are also in the deep freeze, you know? No longer looking for a move of God because of their intellect. You get a man who loves his wife or a woman who loves her husband. She doesn't need a manual. You know, could I get a book on you? She doesn't go every year and take a test to see whether she should stay married. They know each other's feelings and thoughts because they are one with each other. My wife can just look at me and know if there's something that's wrong in my life. It wouldn't help to read the manual on her husband. She knows me from the years of experience with me, and we didn't stay at the same level that we had in 1968 when we were married. You can't stay at a certain level with God. You have to progress to get to know him better and better. Some of the young couples, you know, who are still on their honeymoon, that's a wonderful thing. You don't know squat about what I'm saying. You still are performing at that functioning level. You're still at the huggy, kissy, lovey level, and there's nothing wrong with the huggy, kissy, lovey level, but wait a while. It's not an endurance race. It's an enjoyment journey. It's not an endurance, I'm going to make it to heaven if I, whatever. No, it's an enjoyment journey. You should be enjoying the journey with our God. Hallelujah. It happens after you've been through some stuff together that you realize how much you love your spouse. And it's not until you've gone through some things with God that you realize how deeply in love you are with God, you see? Daniel 11 and 32 says, "The people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits." So the key to the exploits is, I really know my God. I know what he wants. I know his heart. And if we increase our level of knowing God, really by experience, we have the possibility and potential of God saying, now I know you. Now I can bless you. And I'll fight against everybody that fights against you because you're mine. I'll be your exceeding great reward, your great provider, your glorious shield. All of this is tied into the level of knowing God. It really is, folks. Hallelujah. I can't grow cold. I can't play it safe. If there was ever a time to take a risk, it's now. If there was ever a time to approach somebody, do you realize that most people won't witness to somebody because they're afraid of what could happen? They could be rejected or looked on poorly. But when you have this great relationship with God, it doesn't matter because I'm pleasing God, whether they respond the right way or not. Our last scripture, if our musicians come, is in Ephesians, the third chapter. Verse 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Know unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. How deep am I? How close are we? Amen. Glory to God. I say this a lot, but the thing that brought me back to the second Pentecostal service was that wasn't the preaching, wasn't the singing, wasn't the choir. It was the touch that I got from God. To think that I could physically feel the presence of God, I believed in God, but I've never experienced God. And that's the same thing that brought me here tonight and Sunday. It's the experience with God. Amen. And I want him to say, I know you. I know you. I've given you a name. Glory to God. Would you stand with me, please? best way to get to know someone is to spend time with them. The altar's open. Would you come?